From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour and next hour and for the rest of the show. Dreams and intuition with the Dream Dudes. I'm looking forward to this one. Well, get ready for the fireworks. The UN Security Council has demanded that Iran suspend uranium enrichment. It's the first time that the very powerful body has directed and urged Iran to clear up suspicions that it is seeking nuclear weapons. Iran remained defiant, maintaining its right to nuclear power, but insisted that it was committed to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and that it had no intention of seeking weapons of mass destruction. The 15-nation council unanimously approved a statement that will ask the UN nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency, to report back in 30 days on Iran's compliance with demands to stop enriching uranium. But as I said, get ready for the fireworks. The Afghan man who converted to Christianity and could have been executed for renouncing Islam has arrived in Italy for asylum. Abdul Rahman, who is under police protection, will officially request asylum on Thursday, and a commission will analyze that request. I'm sure he'll get it. An American Muslim was sentenced to 30 years in prison for joining al-Qaeda and plotting to assassinate President Bush. Prosecutors had asked for the maximum a life sentence for Ahmed Omar Abu Ali, a 25-year-old U.S. citizen who was born to a Jordanian father and raised in Falls Church, Virginia. Abu Ali gave the Saudis a statement in which he said that he joined al-Qaeda and discussed with some of the most senior al-Qaeda members terror plots, including the president's assassination and plans to establish an al-Qaeda terror cell here in the United States. And the Bush administration has issued new rules ratcheting up gas mileage requirements for pickup trucks, sport utility vehicles, and vans for the first time, covering the largest SUVs on the road. The new fuel economy rules covering 2008 through 2011 would save about 11 billion gallons of fuel over the lifetime of the vehicle sold during the period and go further than an administration proposal issued last summer. Well, there's a crazy cat terrorizing the town of Fairfield, Connecticut. Residents said he looks like Felix the Cat, has six toes on each foot, each has a long claws, and they just say we just can't figure it out. He's chasing people all over the place, and they think they may have caught him. A lot of people have been bitten and scratched by this cat that has just gone berserk. I don't know about you, but the Serpo website, I think, may be taken over or something is wrong with it. Those of you who have a moment to check, fast blast me, let me know. Serpo, as you know, is this very bizarre program, apparently, where we sent a half a dozen astronauts in a trade program with some extraterrestrials to their planet. Well, I've been getting emails all day from people who are saying something's wrong, the website's down, what's going on? So take a look at that if you would. A little bit later on this hour, I'm going to tell you about some of the top 10 space movies of all times. People are voting on this right now on space.com. I'll also tell you a fascinating story of clowns. Yes, I hate clowns, but I'm going to tell you this story. Here are the numbers. We've got open lines for you this entire hour. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, ready to roll for you at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and get ready for Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Yep, the Serpo website looks like it's down. Something's going on with that situation. I've been looking at this for 2 months now, and it's never, never gone down. So I don't know what is happening with that. I'm going to give you the favorite space movies of all times in just a moment. And also to tell you, you know, the big story going on over the last couple of days has to do with illegal immigration. And I have purposely not jumped on that story at this time, even though we've talked about it before. I want the mainstream media to run with it. Except as I was dialing around and watching and reading and looking at various newspapers from around the country, it dawns on me that everyone, everyone has missed the mark on this story. Everyone, the major newspapers, the major television broadcasters, they're talking about illegal immigration. They're taking their sides, pro or con. But they seem to have forgotten what it's really all about. And you know what it's all about. And I know what it's all about because we listen to this program. It's about globalists. It's about world domination. It's about a one world government. That's what it's all about. It's not about an influx of illegal immigrants into the United States at all. It's about merging countries together to make them one. That's what it's all about, and I wish the mainstream media would start taking that direction. It doesn't have anything to do with people jumping over the border trying to do what they do. That's been going on since the beginning of time. Who knows how many people have done this? All of a sudden, it's a big story. Nope, they're missing the mark. It's about globalists and a one-world government. Here are the rankings before I go to some of the open-line phone calls. Space.com is asking for you to vote. And at this point, they've picked 10 movies that they say are their favorite space movies of all time. Number 10 is one of mine. I love it. Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Number 9, The Right Stuff. It's about the astronauts, of course. Number 8 is Star Wars. 6, Return of the Jedi. Number 7 is Alien. Number 6 is Star Trek First Contact. Number 5 is 2001 Space Odyssey. Number 4 is Star Wars 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Number 3 is Apollo 13. That's interesting. And number 2 is Star Wars 4, A New Hope. And the favorite, apparently, to date, the favorite space movie of all time is Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. You know, I would have said something like the Day the Earth Stood Still, that real old classic with Michael Rennie or something like that. There aren't really any old movies in there. The classics aren't there. So I don't know who's voting, but that's what it is right now. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, is this me?
Yeah, it sure is. Where are you?
How's it going? This is Josh in Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Josh. I'm doing fine. Thanks.
And I actually had a question regarding to the gentleman who was on the first hour. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Montauk Project.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And we've had some people talking about that.
Yeah, I was actually wondering if perhaps you thought that maybe, you know, he was talking about the conspiracy with the electronic equipment and the mind control. If that may possibly have something to do with the mind experiments from the Montauk experiment.
Maybe. And let me tell you, Josh, next week, Paul Smith is going to be my guest. He's an expert not only in remote viewing, but some of the things that the government has done in past tests. Make sure you're listening to the program. I'll have his exact date at the end of the week. But Paul Smith will be our guest. Great, great individual. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. You can talk?
Yeah, this is Cherry.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. It took me a lot of courage to call you tonight, but I finally decided to call you. My son-in-law committed suicide in 1999, and my daughter moved up here to Albany, and I followed her because she had a young baby.
Okay.
I had bought her a PlayStation for a birthday present, and she and this gentleman would play every night, so much so they broke it. So we tried to fix it. We couldn't fix it, so we threw it in a closet. Mark said, why don't you just throw it away? I said, no, I'm going to try to get it fixed. If I can't get it fixed, I'll buy you a new one. So anyway, let me get to the point. So I had a dream one night. Mark says to me in the dream, buy me some games for the PlayStation. And so I just said, well, you know, it's just a dream. So I said to myself, why would he ask in the dream to buy games for a PlayStation that is broken? Why didn't he just ask for a PlayStation? So I said to my daughter, I said, go in that closet and get that PlayStation out. She says, for what? I said, because I want you to hook it up. She said, Mommy, it doesn't work. I said, I know, but I just got this feeling. And she was really pissed with me because she didn't want to go in all that junk.
We don't say that.
Don't say pissed?
No, don't say that.
All right, I won't say that. But she was mad at me.
All right.
She was mad at me because she didn't want to be bothered. And so she went and she got the PlayStation out, hooked it up, and it worked.
But you knew it would work.
I knew it. I didn't know it. I had a dream, and I said to myself, let me take a chance on this, because in the dream he asked for games.
Well, that's what I mean. You knew in your dream that it was going to work, and you knew if you hooked it up, the chances are it was going to happen.
Yeah, it kind of shocked me, though, George. I'm not going to keep you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How are you tonight?
Good.
It's a real pleasure. I just wanted to say you do a great service to your audience, your guests, and the show, and the respect that you show all, everybody.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Hey, I sent you an email a couple weeks ago regarding the Bigfoot sightings in Indiana, I believe it was. I was out cruising the web one day, actually looking at some handload hunting cartridge websites, different hunting loads to use for big game and so forth. And one guy posted a really crazy thread out there. It said something about recommended cartridge for something big like a gorilla, and he kind of alluded to some different sized animals, and then finally he came down to it and said, well, I live out in Indiana, and you guys should think I'm nuts, but was out camping down by a river a couple weeks ago, he said, and I heard a sound come across the river I've never heard of in my life before. And he said it scared the heck out of me, and he had heard of, after that, he had started hearing some of the Bigfoot sightings in the area. But that really piqued my interest, and, curiosity. I was just wondering if you'd heard anything come across the boards about that as of late.
Well, we hear a lot of sightings all over the place. CryptoMundo.com is okay. Lauren Coleman's website, which I monitor quite a bit. And, once in a while, maybe once a week, you'll see updated stories on Bigfoot sightings. But you know what's sad, though, is this guy probably would have taken a shot at Bigfoot had he seen it.
He may have. And that's a huge animal, and he probably would have ended up to be the short end of the stick on that deal, I'd imagine. It may have gone off in the woods and died afterwards, but I certainly wouldn't do it. You had a guest on about a month ago, and he was telling how you're supposed to approach these creatures if you ever see them, and I thought that was very interesting. And I've had some encounters with some moose out in the woods before, pretty close up, and That gets the blood flowing and just scares the bejesus out of you. And fortunately, nothing came of it. But just to be calm and whatnot. But sometimes the wrong reaction is the right reaction, and vice versa.
Would you approach a Bigfoot if you were out there in the woods one on one?
George, when I was a little kid, my dad was very much into this stuff, and I remember going to the theater and seeing a movie, and they were reenacting a supposed encounter where a guy was fishing, and he had looked up on a hilltop and he'd seen a creature up there. So he went to investigate, and he rounded a bend in the trail, and he was standing face to face with a Sasquatch. And I remember seeing that as a kid, and I was just scared to death of that. But, as I've grown now, and as my curiosity of, cryptozoology and so forth, I kind of focus on that a little bit more now. I don't know if I would approach it, but I don't know if I would retreat either. I think I would stand there as long as it would allow me to stand there and observe it.
What if it started walking your way?
Well, I think I'd probably have to look for a change of underwear at that point.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you, George. Good night.
Appreciate it. Next up, Wild Card Line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Bill. I'm over in Chicago. I'm one of the Minutemen. I just want to give you a perspective from another American's point of view.
Absolutely. And what are you doing up towards Chicago?
Well, we're based out of Chicago. I'm one of the chapters up there.
Okay.
And that's where I live. But anyway, I just want to say I'm very frustrated with our government because, there's no bigotry. It's all about the laws that are here. We want to do it by the book. The people are waiting years to get in this country. And, people coming in illegal all the time. And the problem I got is they call us vigilantes. Well, they're giving away our ports and letting people come in by the millions, tearing down the fences and the borders. You're right. It is something above our government.
there is no doubt in my mind there is a plan afoot to infiltrate the United States, possibly Canada. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has to do with turning this into a one-world government, maybe to start by turning it into a one-country continent. But that's what they want, and I think they're testing the waters. They're probably trying to see how are the American people going to react, how are the governments going to react, how is law enforcement going to react. And once it's all done and, people calm down, that's when they're going to start their further push.
Well, yeah, I agree. And like I said, we're just frustrated because you know, all we want to do is make things work the way that our forefathers set them up, and they're giving our country away right and left, and, you know, giving, you know, this country is in serious trouble, and I wish everyone would take that to heart when their senators and representatives go to vote on this here in the next couple of months or weeks, and look what they do and pay attention, because, you know, you got to take a side on this one way or the other, because we're going to be in serious trouble financially and economically if this goes through the way the Senate is trying to push it.
You know, and I'm amazed, other than the Houston Chronicle, how most of the major city newspapers have basically backed off this issue in their editorials, and they either don't want to talk about it, or they're endorsing the fact that illegal immigration is the way to go. They're talking about amnesty.
Right,
they're talking
right.
about, you know, it is absolutely bizarre.
Right. Well, that's the other thing I was going to mention. Now, you remember all those kids you saw on the TV running through all the streets everywhere?
You got it.
They were all carrying Mexican flags. Did you see any, even one American flag? Not one.
I did see one, but not on TV. I saw it on some news clips. But
right.
But you're right. And, you know, unfortunately, these kids have no idea what they're out there demonstrating for.
They're delusions.
they're basically told, get out there and in mass and let's see a lot of people running around.
George, I love your show, and thank you for the service, and thank you for letting me speak my opinion about whatever's going on, okay? Have a great night, sir.
Absolutely. You know, a long time ago out of Detroit, there was a priest who used to do broadcasts, and they started censoring him because they didn't like some of the things he said. And some of the things he said were pretty bad, to tell you the truth. But he did see some things that were happening in the country, and he started talking about that, and they shut him down. They shut him down really fast. I'm concerned that this is happening so fast. I mean, when you imagine over the last just couple of years, the things you and I and all of us have been through watching the events unfold in this country, it is absolutely astounding. I have never seen in my life, and I'm 55 years old, anything move this fast in the last few years as total change in terms of losing rights, this increased paranoia about your neighbors and people you live with, demonstrations, people that, and, you know, sure, if you had lived through the Vietnam War era like I did, you would have seen demonstrations. And the mistake that those demonstrators made during the Vietnam War is they didn't support the troops. I don't care what you say about war, whether you agree with it or not. You have a right to protest. But in those days, they turned on the troops, and I think that's what hurt the protest movement for so long. And then we got out of Vietnam, and they still made the troops feel bad when they came back, maimed and everything else. This particular case, this is very different. This is an erosion of the United States. And I'm not saying this because I'm anti-government. I love the United States. I served 9 years in the United States Navy. I've done what I had to do. My father went to World War II. What I am seeing, and that's part of my job, being Mr. Perceptive here and Mr. Intuitive, what I am seeing is a complete erosion of our form of government. What you and I and everybody who has legally come into this country to admire and to grasp, that's what we're losing. And it is faster than anything I've ever seen. And you don't need me to tell you this. All you got to do is look around and you can see what's happening. And it's pretty sad. I don't know if there are any politicians out there that have the guts to do the right thing. And if they don't, we are going to lose the autonomy of the United States, and you better be prepared to live that way. You better be prepared to get a chip implanted in your hand. You better be prepared to live in a cashless society. You better be prepared to have cameras all over the place watching you. You better be prepared to have people drive by your house in the wee moments of the night, and be able to beam into your house and listen to what you're talking about, and you won't even know they're there. And you better be prepared for all the illegals that are coming into the United States, because one day they're going to probably change the name of the country, too. That's how I feel. That's what's going on, and we got to stop it, and you got to stop it now before it's too late. I'll be back in a moment. We're going to continue with open lines for the rest of this hour. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, now, you know how I feel about clowns, and today I took one of my daughters out to lunch along with her little girl, my 11-year-old grandchild, and we're out there having lunch and chit-chatting, and it's just nice to see her. Her name's Ariana, by the way, the little one, and she said, Papa Giorgio, I got to tell you this story, And I said, yeah, Ari, what is it? She said, well, I got to tell you about my friend's friend told him a story, and here it goes. And this is a little 11-year-old relaying this to me, so here it goes. She said, I've got a friend who just kept telling her mama that she didn't like the big clown that was in her bedroom. And after a while, you know, her mother said, what are you talking about? She says, the big clown, every once in a while, you know, it's on the chair, and it winks at me. And the mother went, honey, you don't have a big clown in your bedroom. And I'll tell you how much the mother had been there. And this could be an urban myth, by the way. And she says, no, there's a clown, and it winks at me, and it's in the bedroom. And it comes down at night. And she said, what do you mean it comes down at night? And come to find out, someone had been living in their attic. They didn't know that. And he came in some kind of clown costume and would sneak down at night, grab some food out of the refrigerator, live up in the attic, and go back up there. And she would see him, the little girl would see this clown. And you talk about an eerie story. Now, I don't know if the little one was telling me this because I don't like clowns, but man, she sure got a kick out of telling that story. I think it's an urban myth. At least I hope it is. But it was one strange story. Back in a moment. Well, without further ado, let's go to the phone. So why do people say that, by the way? Does that make sense? Without further ado? No, that's not the way people talk. To the phones we go. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George. This is Matt. I'm a truck driver. I'm in Indiana right at the moment.
Now, whereabouts? That's 495?
No, actually, I'm getting on. It's 465.
465. 465.
Yeah,
that's off
I'm pulling
by 30.
On to it right this minute, actually. But I had a question for you. I just a couple quick questions for you. Me and my trainer, Mike, we've been discussing the end times a lot. And I was just wondering what you thought about the Illuminati possibly knowing who the Antichrist is, and that, that they're setting it up to where he's going to come into power eventually.
Let me answer that one first. Interesting question. I'm not sure the Illuminati knows who the Antichrist is. I'm not even sure the supposed Antichrist, whenever he may raise his ugly head, not even sure he knows who he is at this point.
Okay.
I think the only two people around or two entities that know are the man upstairs and the man downstairs.
I agree. We were talking about that earlier tonight, about how maybe the Antichrist is heading the Illuminati, possibly, or, part of it in some way. And the second question I had is, in the book of, it, just real quick, in the book of Revelations, it talks about the great whore of Babylon. I was just wondering, what your opinion was on that and who you think that the great whore of Babylon actually is.
Boy, that I do not know. I have no idea. You know, we have had a couple guests on, John Hogue, well, one of them especially, and we've talked about end times, but I'm not even going to begin to speculate. John Hogue has talked about several people in politics today who might fit that bill, but I don't know. Wildcard line, welcome to Coast, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is Melanie. George, I have the other day you were talking with Heidi, and this guy named Will called you. Remember him, about the lightning little girl?
Yes.
Yeah, I have him that I'm very, very gifted in many different ways. And whenever I heard his voice, the little girl came to me, and she will not leave me alone until I pass on this message. The reason why he hears her scream, help me, whenever there's a lightning storm, was because she died during a lightning storm in a fire. And he has to get the house left so she can cross over.
How do you know this?
I'm gifted. I have premonitions. I hear the seas. I see the seas. It runs in my family.
So you're saying the little girl died in a lightning strike in her house?
No, it was during a lightning storm. and there was a fire in her house. It happened in the early 1800s.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was 7 or 8, and her name is Rose.
And she still hasn't moved on yet.
No, that's why she's calling the house, and every time he hears her scream, help me, lightning storm, says she died during a lightning storm. And he has to get that place blessed so she can cross over. She's very frustrated.
Do you think blessing alone will do that and allow her to move on?
If he gets a Catholic priest, they'll do like an exorcism inside the house, and it'll help her go to the light because she needs assistance going to the light. She can't go to the light, and she needs help. So she's been trying to get to him to have him bless the place so she can go away.
Okay, well, I hope he's listening. I don't have any way to get a hold of him, but if he is listening, maybe he'll take your advice. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hello.
Yeah, hi there. This is Ryan from Tucson.
Hi, Ryan.
Well, I was reading in the papers, probably 4 or 6 weeks ago, that our state governor went and called up part of our National Guard to try and go down to the Mexican border and help seal it off.
Sure.
I just found it amazing that the state stepped up and did something that the feds are supposed to be doing.
I agree with that. You know, it's a twofold approach. There's no doubt about that. But the federal government really isn't doing that much. You do not have enough Border Patrol guards down there. You know, and it's a joke. The drug runners who are coming across the border are shooting and killing law enforcement and people. And they're doing all kinds of atrocities. It is not generally being reported. And you're right. How many National Guardsmen did they send down there?
Oh, geez, I don't remember that part. It couldn't have been a lot, but...
No, not enough.
I'm amazed they did something.
Are you in favor of a fence?
I don't think a fence makes a whole lot of difference, but...
Now, the only way a fence will work is if somehow they electronically make it set that if anybody touches it or tries to crawl over it, you'll know exactly where they are. But you have to have people on the other side of that fence. You know, we have to have troops stationed at certain intervals in order to get there. Because people are just going to try to scale the fence or cut right through it, even if it's, electrified.
Well, yeah, I'm a pilot, and I've flown up and down that border 100 times, and there's long stretches of nothing.
No. Have you ever seen anybody running across the border from above?
Yeah. And you call it in, and they don't do anything. They ask how many people, and if it's anything less than, 10 or 12, they don't respond.
No. Okay, and the other problem, too, is the companies that are hiring the illegals, not the legals, the illegals, paying them under the table, paying them with cheap cash. I mean, they're just as much at fault. It's all over the place. East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Hi, George.
Hello, where are you?
Where am I?
And who are you?
Oh, my name's Robin.
What are you, Robin?
What am I?
What are you?
I don't know. but I wanted to ask you, you're talking about the Luciferians?
Yeah,
are sometimes. They part with this New World Order thing?
Well, not in a direct sense. However, I do believe that some of these globalists may be Luciferians, may be Satanists. There's no doubt in my mind that they are. But in terms of the organization as a whole, probably not. But individuals, yes.
You had somebody 2 or 3 months ago that called and sounded like a young man and said they were working on it with, I don't know, thought process or something to change something, and that guy sounded scary.
Well, what you heard was a guest that Art had, and I've talked to him too. Aaron Donahue is his name, and he is a self-avowed Luciferian and practices it and preaches it and lives it every day of his life.
And that's like Satanism.
Well, he says no, I say yes.
I don't know. See, well, I've got a lot of flack because of Wicca, which is not...
Nothing wrong with Wicca.
There's nothing... I mean, that's not devil worshiping. The whole thing is like, do what you will, but harm none.
No.
The poor Wiccans
got the short end of the stick because people thought that they were practicing the black mass and they were Satanists. And they're not. They believe in God. What they believe in is a male and female God, but they are not worshipers of the devil. Let's go to our wild card line. It is your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
All right. I'm Miles, calling from Ventura, doing the security work.
Oh, sure. Yeah, not too far from us.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, you had, a show on the Talking Bengals not too long ago. Remember that, the Talking Birds, and they were saying things?
Yes, the Budgies.
Yeah, the Bundys. And you touched on it, and they was talking about Christ's return, and we just kind of touched on it. I was like, I thought it'd be kind of interesting to talk about it and get them back on and see what's everything going on right now, you know, see if they know the dates or anything.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, some of the things that our guests talked about via the birds, pretty darn fascinating stuff, huh?
Yeah, that was a pretty good show. You know, I was thinking about it because the Bible talks about no man knoweth the day of the hour, but maybe the birds do.
You know, next time he's got to bring one of the birds next to the phone. He sent us some clips, but you really couldn't understand them.
Right.
But I'd love to interview a bird.
Yeah, I just thought it was pretty interesting. So.
I wonder if the bird would lie to me. Probably not. I think they'd tell the truth. By the way, in St. Louis, 44-year-old orangutan at the zoo died. St. Louis Zoo is one of the best zoos in the world. San Diego Zoo, I think, is the best. But St. Louis is pretty good. 44-year-old orangutan died. He left behind two little babies and his wife, I guess, his spouse. 44 years old. There are only 5,000 of these orangutans left in the world. They're dying off. And I'm talking about the ones that aren't in captivity. Wildcard line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mark in Austin.
Hi, Mark.
I wanted to say something to validate something David Icke said last night on the show.
And what was that?
About the fear that's going off. On 9/11, when the second plane hit, and let me just do this to make a picture for you and the listeners. Do you know what a geodesic dome is?
Oh, yeah, sure. Created by Buckminster Fuller.
Right, okay. So paint this picture. Take the Earth, put a geodesic dome around it. Then take another geodesic dome, a little bit bigger, put it on top of the Earth and the first dome, and do that a third time. So you got three domes with the Earth on the inside. Okay, when about an hour after I watched it on television, I'm over 60 years old, and I'm intuit sensitive.
Okay.
And I've been OBE and since remembering it since I was 18 months old. So what happened was I had to lay down, and I laid down for about 2 hours. And I mean, as soon as I got my body actually on the floor of my office, and I just laid there, and I was out of body. And where I was on one of these geodetic domes with millions and millions of other incarnate and other carnate beings like myself who can move their conscious and their etheric body in and out of their physical body.
Yeah.
Holding a place together. It was like angels on hundreds and hundreds and thousands of angels on one of these hubs. And what they were doing was transducing the total fear of humanity. And they continue to do that. This went on for me for over 3 weeks. I'd just be at my desk working or something because I have a business of my own. And all of a sudden, I'd just have to lay down and I'd be gone. And so what he was talking about, like feeding off of the fear, he was so absolutely right about that. And it still happens now occasionally, but not as much. But I want you and the listeners to understand there's a higher good for all of that aspect of, you know, all the fear and the anxiety and all that stuff that's going on. Humanity needs to be released of that so that they can look and see a better way to do it, which is one of the things David said. Don't go to war. Get out of the system.
Ah, but the problem is, as he also said, it's going to take people like you to make sure that this doesn't occur that way.
Well, and believe me, for the listeners and yourself, for the ones who are just starting their journey, you know, look around and ask for help, and there will be people coming out of the woodwork that you may never see again, but they'll be there, and they'll have the right word, the right gift, the right encouragement, the right inspiration for you to move on. But what we have to understand is no matter how many, there's 6.6 billion of us on the planet right now, even with the population rising, as each one of us steps out of that circle and then holds his hand back to the next person that's coming up behind him, we will make a difference. And that's what David was talking about. And I just want to hopefully inspire other people who are listening, yourself and other people yet to listen, to have a look at that, because we are on a road. This is not a situation that is already, you know, doom and gloom and defeat. In my understanding and experiences, the victory is already won. It's just waiting for the last one of us to cross the threshold.
Well, it's nice to know we've won. I just hope that it happens in our lifetime. I don't want this thing to go on much longer, because I don't know how much people can take. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah, this is Frank from Cougar, Washington.
Hi, Frank.
How you doing, George? Hey, I love your show. Got to tell you, I'm in security, and I spend my nights up here on the logging roads and stuff, actually patrolling the dams and whatnot. And a lot of your shows, being out here in the dark in the woods talking about Bigfoot and whatnot, boy, it's make the hair on the back of my neck stand.
You know, for a moment when you said you're in security, I thought you were saying I'm insecure, and I'm going to say, what's the matter, Frank? Come on.
Well, that's probably true, too, but... No, I just had a comment and a quick little story for you. You were talking the other night about folks staying in places like, you know, with the big quake coming and the continent falling off, whatnot. And, you know, we live up here. Our little claim to fame in this little town is we're in the shadow of Mount St. Helens. So we got a volcano that's, you know, kind of doing its thing. And, you know, people been here since the first time. And, you know, I think people just get used to you know, living with that sort of thing, and there's not a lot you can do. I think you just kind of go on with your life, but we think it's kind of neat, actually. But
well, that's pretty gutsy, I guess. I hope everything's okay out there.
Yeah, it's beautiful up here. You know, we see that thing smoking away, but like I say, we don't think too much of it. But the other thing I was going to tell you was just some kind of a little neat story that happened to me or my family. And you know, my dad, he collects old cars, classic cars, restores them and whatnot, and he actually collects a lot of the period clothes that go along. So when he goes to the car shows, he can be dressed up in the period clothes. And
so he wears like bell bottoms once in a while.
Yeah, well, we're actually talking a little farther back than that, but that along those lines. So, you know, he had a buddy who had gone back east, and he went to one of these car deals, and there was an auction, and he bought some old clothes, some crates of old clothes or whatever, and he called my dad, and he said, hey, I got some stuff. And I think you might, you know, there's some stuff in here that looks like it might fit you and go with some of your cars. So a little while later, my dad had brought this stuff home, and he's, we're in the living room, and he's in the bedroom. We can hear him in front of the mirror trying them on, saying, oh, this is great. This is going to go with this. And, oh, this will be perfect. And then we hear him saying, wow, he's trying on a tux, and he's saying, this is perfect. It's like this suit was made for me. And then there was some silence for a minute or two, and he comes in the room, and he says, why'd you say look in the pocket? And we look at him, and it's like, we didn't say look in the pocket. What are you talking about? We've been in here the whole time. And he holds out his hand, and in his hand is a laundry slip from, like, 1923.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and on the laundry slip is Portland, Oregon, which, you know, we live pretty close to Portland. He's actually
sure.
From Portland. But weirder than that was, you know, the date and an address, and he gets a funny look on his face, and it's got his name on it, which
that's incredible.
Yeah, it was his my great grandfather's suit.
That is one great story. That's a classic. Absolute classic. Well, we'll be back in a moment with the Dream Dudes. Yep. On Coast to Coast AM.